Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything's slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
And welcome on in. It's our final ever, well, final one for this sports season anyway, final Wolves midweek edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com as we put to bed the season of the baseball and softball squads. We'll talk with both head coaches, get their thoughts on the season that was, highs, lows, what's next for both of those programs, as we'll talk with Kaylee Ness, head coach of the softball squad, wrapping up year number one for her towards the bottom of the hour. And then a quarter past the hour, Dean Barry of Northern State Baseball, he'll be joining us as well. That's what we've got in store for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen, plus all the news that's fit to print, which is basically a whole lot of it, because there was a lot of high school stuff from yesterday. High school track and field, you had high school golf going on yesterday, a lot of that. High school softball, congratulations to Aberdeen Central. They picked up their first victory of the season behind a real gem of a performance from Kaylee Kiso, and also some tennis action there as well, as I was way off base. I made a quote-unquote bold prediction yesterday, and boy, talk about a swing and a miss in that regard as well. We'll get to that and much more, but first and foremost, I kick things over to my freshly cut Cobra over there. How are you, sir?
Doing good, man. Haircut was long overdue for me. Glad I got it done.
Looks good.
Thank you.
Looks good on you. Yeah, we're typically on that same haircut schedule. I got mine done, I think, either last week, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off.
And I'm thinking to myself, what's this guy? He's slacking off.
Yeah, I think I looked, man. My last haircut was like in the middle of February.
Yeah.
So it was long overdue.
Mine was late January.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to get on that for sure. But, you know, it's radio after all. We got a couple of faces for radio, and, you know, sports season's over. Who are we trying to impress, right?
Exactly right.
That's the way I look at it. All right. He is the Cobra indeed. We call him a guy that has that hiss to his name right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, Mr. Unlimited there as well. And, of course, we've got a lot to get to, and we've got a lot of high school news and notes. But there's one thing that came across my feed. He used to play his high school football here, as a matter of fact, in South Dakota. Talking about one Gray Zabel. Of course, he's now a Seattle Seahawk, and he'll be playing left guard there, wearing number 76, which makes me happy. And the last time a Seahawks guard played left guard and wore number 76, if memory serves correctly, or at least one that was worth anything, was when Steve Hutchinson. And Steve Hutchinson turned out to be a pretty good one for the Seahawks back in the day, and of course the Minnesota Vikings there as well. But one thing I like about rookies is they do a lot of social media stuff. Mm-hmm. Rookies do a lot of social media stuff, especially rookies that have little to no ties to the area. And Gray Zabel, no different than most rookies in that regard as well. And Gray Zabel went, I don't want to say he went viral, because that's not the right way to describe it, but Gray Zabel was interviewed yesterday on Seahawks.com, or I guess more specifically the Seahawks X account, and he was asked, what is one thing that you would like to bring from South Dakota to the Emerald City. And I think his response is a great one.
How loud they were. What's a Midwest tradition you want to bring to Seattle? Oh, pickle beers. I don't know if a lot of people put pickles in their beer out in Seattle, but we got to bring that to Seattle for sure.
Matt McClure is over here shaking his head. He's not a fan. He's not a fan of the pickle beers.
I don't get that, or I don't get the olive beers either. I see people ordering them. They're super popular. It's just something that I've never had. Would I try it? Yeah, but I don't get the hype about it. Is that fair?
I don't think it's fair because you've never had it before.
Yeah.
I think if you had them and you don't like them, then you'd say, what's the hype?
Yeah.
But you've never had them before, so.
But do you really need three pickle spears and a beer?
One for me. One for me. I tell you, I'll be honest. I thought, just like you, this is such a weird thing. What are you putting pickles and olives in your beer for?
Yeah.
I tell you what, one time I was hanging out with a South Dakota buddy of mine. He goes, just try it. Just one time. You're always making fun. Just do it.
I'll try it.
And I said, okay. So I did. Had a Coors Light with a pickle in there. Ooh, yeah.
You liked it?
Oh, yeah. But then again, I'm very much pro pickle anyway. I love pickles.
Sure.
So Coors Light with a pickle in there, one pickle spear. You don't need seven. You don't need 30 in there. Don't want to overdo it, but one pickle, I'm good.
I do like pickles, so maybe I'll have to give it a try. Olives, I'm just not a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I told my buddy to do it because he's a big fan of olives. He liked it. So maybe there is something to it. But that's something super popular. Also, like putting tomato juice in the beer, too.
Can't get behind that one.
Is pretty popular out here, too.
That's a biggie. That's one I'm with you there. I can't get behind the tomato juice in the beer. That's just... It's not for me.
Do you not like tomato juice?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't like tomatoes in general. But I do like ketchup, which is kind of ironic.
That's a little bit different.
A little different. It's a texture thing, I think, for me. But I'll never forget, we've shared this story when I first moved to Sisseton. Hey, do you want a red beer? Oh, yeah. Amber ale? This is going to be great. I sit there and they're putting tomato. What the hell are you doing? But, yeah, I drank it.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I drank it. But, yeah, cultural differences for sure.
Hey, Gray Zabel, he wore 74 in college, by the way.
He did.
So going up two numbers there.
Yeah, didn't ask George Fant for his number. Didn't, I'm trying to think of other 74s in Seahawks history. Didn't go to John Moffitt and say, hey. Or John Moffitt? Yeah. Give me that 74. But, you know, it's been kind of a pedestrian number, if you will, there in Seahawks history. So I think he's going to make that one his own if he wore 74, but 76, of course, now with the Seattle Seahawks. So looking forward to that. And a couple other things quick, like before we bring in head coach Dean Barry, this came across my feed, and I thought to myself, why do people continue to make such a big deal of these sorts of things? Now, you're in your 20s. You probably play some video games from time to time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that we do as youngsters. I'm still considering myself a youngster. But football players or athletes in general, why do they get worked up on the rating?
I don't know.
I don't understand why that's a thing. This came across my feed and said rumors, like this is like big breaking news.
Rumors in all caps?
Yeah. Rumors are circulating that Ohio State star wide receiver Jeremiah Smith, he'll be a 100 overall in the new college video game. It's got the eye emojis, the eyeball, like, oh, keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for this guy. He's going to be 100. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this news worth?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you on that. I don't get how all the athletes make a big deal about it. If they get the question asked, you know, I feel like they're not paying attention to it. And then somebody asks them, oh, yeah, you're an 81 on Madden or something like that. And they get a little bit defensive. An 81?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So that's how I think it goes. I don't think they're really paying attention to it like that. Like, oh, I'm an 81 on Madden. I feel like somebody's telling them to get them fired up, and that's where we see the reaction.
You know, I think there are some athletes out there that really do actually pay attention to them. And that blows my mind. It's just like, shouldn't you be focused on getting better hands or better eye-hand coordination or getting in the weight room or better agility, this, that, and the third? All of which coincides with your Madden rating anyway. So I never understood why there are so many athletes, particularly on the NFL side of things, that just get so worked up into a tizzy about, oh, I'm only an 81. What gives?
Well, I think it's because a lot of athletes play the games.
Right.
They play video games. You see it all the time, whether it's during the off season, during training camp, when they have the free time, if you will. Rookies, they'll play a ton of video games. So that's where I think it also stems from. These guys aren't just not playing video games. They're playing Madden as themselves all the time.
It's weird. It's weird to me. Speaking of guys that played video games, one of my favorite wide receivers of the last handful of years, DK Metcalf. Of course, he's in Pittsburgh now. But looks like number 14 is going to be open because word just came out this morning that his teammate, George Pickens, has been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know if Paula Kruger is listening, but, I mean, I texted you. He just fits the persona of a Dallas Cowboys wide receiver. Yeah, everyone take a look at me. I really don't care too much about winning or losing. I know he may say he does, but I think he's more so just kind of a head case and a disaster waiting to happen. Now, I think he's uber talented. I think C.D. Lamb is probably a top 10 wide receiver in the league. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch on paper. Dak Prescott, I think, is a pretty good quarterback, but I still think Dallas is going to be, what, 7-10 or 8-9 or maybe 9-8 if they have a good year? I don't see it working.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I think it's going to be a good 1-2 punch. Dallas was trying to get that second receiver opposite of C.D. Lamb, and they got it here with George Pickens. It'll be interesting to see how it all works out. Is he going to be upset if he doesn't get the ball? Oof. Yes.
Yes.
But I do think it makes sense for Dallas. It didn't seem like it was going to work out in Pittsburgh anyway. He's, like you said, very talented. He's a deep ball threat. I think that could help. C.D. Lamb, you know, if this guy can get open over the top, it could just open it up for C.D. Lamb. So I do like it. I think he's going to put up numbers. But is it going to generate the wins? I'm not sure. It's Dallas we're talking about here. They are a good regular season team from time to time. So maybe you get the 10 wins. I think that's probably where the max is for me with them, 10-7. And it's not necessarily because of their offense. I think they always are decent offensively if Dak's healthy. It's the other side of the ball where they just really struggle. They can't stop the run. That's been their problem the last couple of years.
Yeah, and also, to your point, if Dak's healthy. Of course, he missed most of the season this last year. So I'll be curious to see what they kind of look like there. And finally, before we get out of here, how about yesterday, the Chicago Cubs and San Francisco Giants? I don't know if you saw this at all. 14-5. Man, what a lopsided game. The Giants just dominated the Cubs. No, not really. The game was in 11 innings.
Huh.
It was an 11-inning final score of 14-5, but the Cubs pitcher came in, Ryan Pressly, in the extra session there in the 11th inning. This may be probably the worst, or at least one of the worst, stat lines you'll ever see. 0.0 innings pitched. He didn't record an out, essentially. Mm-hmm. Surrenders 5 hits, 9 runs, 8 of them earned, walked 1, an ERA ballooned up to 7.62. That's a pretty rough day at the office.
Yeah, thanks for keeping us in the game there, Ryan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because that was the top of the inning, I guess. Were the Cubs at home?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, like, thanks for keeping us in the game. We're down 9, headed to the bottom of the 11th. Appreciate that, man.
Well, this is kind of like that Aberdeen Central softball game, one of their first games of the season.
Yeah.
I thought it was an error. I was like, man, they lost by, like, 8 or 9 runs, and it said 10 innings. I was like, no, that's got to be an error. No, sometimes he's just weird one-off innings happen.
Yeah, no, that's a good one there, too, because I remember that, too. I was looking at the box score. I'm like, this can't be right. It's just 2 games here, and it turned out to be, I think it was a 10-run top of the 9th inning.
Yeah.
I think it was Mitchell who they were playing.
Okay.
And, yeah, that surprised me when I saw it, but a little bit different when you get to the major league level.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And finally, before we bring in head coach Barry, is he in the hallway there?
He is.
He is waiting for us? Okay, well, maybe we'll just go ahead and take our first break now because I don't want to keep him waiting. We'll talk about how wrong I was later on in the program. Stay tuned. Sports Up continues right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Skipper Dean Barry here in studio. Morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. And we're talking off the air about some defensive buffoonery and some games and stuff like that. What's the deal with some of these games in Major League Baseball with just some of these bad – this is bad baseball right over here right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it just goes to show you, you know.
It happens.
It happens at any time, and people wonder why coaches are so nuts. Like, that game ain't over till that final out, and that the umpire calls it. So, you know, strange, really strange things happen.
I hope that you didn't have a game like that this year. I'm curious, though, what's the worst way that you've ever lost a game? Not to go to negative town right off the bat, but, you know, have you ever had something just really strange and kooky in your time at either a Northern or somewhere else that just ended in a game in a very, very strange way off the top of your head?
I can't think of anything in particular other than, you know, we're a pitch away, right? You're a pitch away, you know, two outs, nobody on, one run lead, and, you know, people think it's over. Nope, we walk a guy, and the guy hits one out, and they walk us off. I mean, that happened this year. So I think three or four games this year, we were literally a pitch away from that final out and just couldn't get it.
Yeah, so no, like, throwing errors? Has that ever happened, like, end a game, like, on a throwing error or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. And I can't recall, maybe because I just blacked it out of
sure.
my memory.
Sure.
Yeah, those are the ones you don't want to remember. But I tell you what, the record wasn't great this year, but you guys finished on a tear. And we were talking at Bourbons and Brews here a couple weeks ago, just a kind of a slow start, some injuries here and there, then things kind of snowball. But you guys really played some really good baseball at the tail end of the season. Is that fair to say?
No question. I don't think I've ever been part of a team that started as badly, you know, with some decent expectations heading into the season. So to start the way we did, and then, like you said, you know, you lose a Drew Benson and you just count on everybody else to step up, and nobody was. Whether it was hitting, pitching, it just wasn't happening. And then at one point, it's kind of funny because at one point we were we just got embarrassed by University of Mary midweek. And I called a couple of guys in, a couple of leaders, and just said, guys, where do we go from here? Like, and they were just kind of beat up and emotionally and physically tired. And the next day I got the guys together in practice. And I said, guys, I got good news. Opening day is tomorrow. And it's ever since we did that, we finish 11-7 or something? It's taken four or five series from teams. And yeah, it was fun to be part of. And I give a ton of credit to my guys for, just keep coming and bringing energy and bringing, like, they didn't care. Like, let's just go play the game and see what happens. And it was a great way to finish.
Yeah, I'm looking here from April 12th to the end of the season, 10-9. So you guys, like you said, finished strong. I mean, that's 10 of your 15 wins right there. Was it just a matter of getting healthy? Was it making the right play late in ball games? Because we talked to a couple of your players throughout the year, and they would say, hey, you know, maybe they use the term like lack of focus on one play, and that turned in kind of snowballed moving forward. What was your kind of assessment there, and how do you think you turned it around from your perspective?
Well, at the start of the year, it was strange. Like, nobody could throw a strike, right? Like, our best guys are on the balcony of the Barnett Center just filling up the zone and throwing it and having a great month of preseason practice and cage work. And all of a sudden we get to the Mankato series and nobody can throw a strike. And so it's just a matter of some guys settling down and just, you know, realizing this is, you know, still just baseball. And so it started there. And then we had guys stepping up, you know, Fridges and, you know, Phil both ended up all conference players and they ended up having great, great seasons. And so that's what it was going to take, guys stepping up and getting the hits and doing what, you know, so it all just kind of started to come together.
Dean Berry joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, sometimes just mentally, and I think that you wipe the slate clean kind of deal with, hey, opening day's tomorrow. And I feel like, especially, you know, you're dealing with 18 to 22, 23-year-old guys, and, you know, at the end of the day, they are still college athletes, and baseball is such a game of failure. And we talk about this all the time. The best players to ever do it, they failed probably 7 out of 10 times if you look at their batting average. How does an athlete get over that? Because sometimes, you know, we talk about golf all the time on the show. You let that last terrible shot kind of fester and then it just snowballs. But, you know, when you are a manager, and that's really what you are, you're kind of managing just the game, but you're also managing emotion too. Can you kind of talk about sort of that balance?
Yeah, you know, over the years, it's like trying to help guys find perspective in what's happening. And they'll hear me talk a lot about, like, guys will talk a lot about adversity. Like, let's be real on what adversity is. Losing a baseball game or having a bad day at the yard is not real adversity. Like, we're trying to teach that lesson, that message that, you know, there's real problems out there. This isn't one of them. And so coming to the yard on a beautiful day with your buddies and playing the game of baseball. Like, let's make it about that and not feeling sorry for ourselves because we didn't get it done yesterday. So it's a little bit of that, finding that perspective.
You talked a little bit about Phillips there. He had over 100 hits over the last 2 years, 65 last year, 52 this year. He hit 363 last year, 317 this year. So, I mean, he's hit 340 here the last 2 years combined when you look at it. I mean, here's a guy that's just – he finds a way to get on base, and he can hit the ball for power. I mean, what a last two seasons he's had for you guys, huh?
Very fortunate to have him. It wasn't, you know, you look at Phil and you're just like, well, kind of whatever. But and the way we rode him behind the plate the last 2 years, like, you're our guy. And nobody asked more out of their catcher than we did. And to see him to continue to perform and do what he did is just remarkable. And if you saw him day to day, you'd understand why. Like, his attention to the details and the preparation, and it was just the consistency that he brought every day was incredible.
We had Castellanos on this last week as we're talking with Dean Barry here on the Sports Sub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. That's got to be the highlight of the season, right? I mean, you're down at Bemidji's place to a certain degree. I mean, that's just those Hollywood moments that happen, you know, grand slams. I mean, it would have been cooler if you guys were at home. And heck, we'll talk about that with our next coach and Coach Ness. They literally end their season on a walk-off home run. But how cool of a moment was that for you guys? Kind of not a walk-off, but pretty much essentially a walk-off against those guys.
It really was. And like I told my, I think it was the coaches or the team after that, I wasn't even sure how to feel after that game. It took me a while to kind of let that sink in. But, yeah, we're heading into that inning down 6-2. Benson's up to lead off, and first pitch, fly ball out. So there's one out, nobody on, down 4. And they made a pitching change. I think Wiedner got a hit, and they made a pitching change, and then the wheels came off. And, yeah, voila. So big moment for DCAS and a big moment for our team. It was fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, it looks like he had 9 home runs this year, which was the lead. He had 3 from Phillips, Castellanos, as well as others. But, you know, 9 from him this year.
Bridges, you're talking?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's a big-time performance this
really
season
was,
for the long ball.
Yep. I don't want to say he didn't play well last year, but a lot of times you see those JUCO guys have whatever kind of years that first year, but then that second year really take off, and he's a good example of that. So it was fun to see him develop as a player.
How long do you think it takes for somebody to kind of get actually comfortable after going to a JUCO? I think he went to Yuba College, if memory serves correctly, talking about Dylan. But how long does it take for – I mean, obviously everyone's different, but, you know, you're going into a completely new culture, completely new program. I mean, that's got to be quite the adjustment.
It is, and, like, we can talk about playing – you know, we talked a lot about Mankato because that was the opening game. Like, guys, whatever motivates you, right, to you know, have great practices and great sessions in the cages, things like that. You can talk a lot about Mankato, but until you see him play, and this year's team especially, Mankato, they're the best team I probably have ever seen in my 30 years of college coaching, and they're good. And they're 4th in the country, probably should be a little bit higher. And so it is a transition. And so you just got to – and getting a feel for what that – you know, what the travel's like and all that stuff combined. So, yeah, a lot of times you just see guys take off that second year.
What did you see differently from your pitching staff outside of, hey, they're throwing more strikes as the season moves along? Because, you know, in order to be in games, the pitching's got to be on point. It certainly was getting there in April and in May. What did you see as that team or that group continue to get better as the season moved along?
It's strange. I don't like to talk about them as a group because every guy has a different situation, and every guy kind of turned it on at different times. I like to think about Jake Helloyd, who the start of the year couldn't throw a strike. Like, we had a 3-run lead against D-Dub, and he just couldn't find it that day. Probably one of his first outings, second outing of the year. By the end of the season, he was absolutely dominant. And I asked him, I think yesterday I met with Jake and said, what's the difference? And he just, a confidence level. And I said, well, what comes first? Is it the confidence or success? to get the confidence. And he just says, I told myself I had to be, and just you go do it. So every guy's a little bit different. And like I said, Jake, we look forward to having Jake back again, because he was, when he's good, there's not a lot of guys better.
Yeah, at the tail end of the season, I mean, like you said, he was locking the guys down. He was very, very dominant. A couple more here with Dean Barry on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So you mentioned your meeting with him, or you met with him yesterday. Probably a lot of exit meetings. What do those kind of look like? I know I've asked you this in the past, but what do those kind of look like for this upcoming batch of guys?
Yeah, it's an opportunity for guys to ask questions, and it's an opportunity for us to give feedback and where they need to get to in order to help us take the next step. I met with all the returners as a group the other day and just said, guys, if you show up in this coming fall the same way you are now and expect different results, it ain't going to happen. Like, you want to take that next step and get back into the conference tournament, we all got to get to work. Like, some of it's physical. You know, like, some guys may have to lose some weight. Some guys may have to put on weight. Every guy's a little bit different situation. So that's our focus on is for next fall, you know, looking different and being different.
Do you feel as a coach that these baseball seasons, especially here in the Midwest, Aberdeen, they kind of just fly by? I mean, you know, February 24th is when you started the season, and here we are in May, and, you know, season's over. What's your kind of outlook on that?
It really is. It's an absolute grind. I'm very thankful for this year in that we played some home games, yeah. And for the most part, most of the games, we had pretty good weather. Like, I can't say that about other years. And very few changing of locations, and we played where we were supposed to play and when. And so thankful for that piece. And, but it'll take a little bit. You know, I'm mm-hmm. tired. The guys are tired and wore out, and then, you know, kind of back to it.
Yeah, it's a long slog of a season. Although it goes fast, it is a bit of a slog at times. And I guess finally, before I get you out of here, I know last year when we were wrapping things up, you said, you know, we might have to dip into the portal here a little bit. Do you anticipate guys leaving? Do you anticipate guys coming in? And I guess what's kind of your next couple weeks and a couple months looking like going forward for you?
Yeah, that's part of what those individual meetings are for, to figure out, you know, who we got coming back. There's been a couple guys that will leave, and we'll look into the portal a little bit, but just kind of back to it. There's still plenty of JUCO guys out there that are uncommitted, and we've got some holes to fill. That left side of our infield's a big one, and then we just got to get better on the mound and got to add a little pop. Like, if we want to be comparable to, you know, the rest of the league, you know, 35, 40 home runs doesn't do it. We got to take those levels and improve that. So we got work to do for sure, and that's what happens now. Like, we get out and make some calls and get out and see some junior college tournaments and such, and we'll see what we can get.
Trips out to California, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, nothing wrong with some sunshine for sure. Dean Barry joining us here in studio. Thanks for popping in. Great finish to the year, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Dean Barry here, head skip for your Northern State University Wolves baseball squad. Joining us, head coach Kaylee Ness of softball after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Dean Barry for joining us here live in studio. He's Matt McClure. I'm Ron Burgundy? No, I'm David Tewksbury, and we're joined alongside by head coach Kaylee Ness here in studio. Good to see you, coach. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, for sure. And speaking of Dean Barry, he was your hype man, huh?
Yeah. He told him he should just stick around and keep it going while we're on the show here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kind of like the baseball team, kind of a tough go at times, but the highs were extremely high. Kind of what's your global thoughts on your first year as the head coach of the Wolves?
Yeah, I think overall it was something that left like a really good imprint and a really good foundation for what we can build on. Obviously, you know, there's games that you look back and it's like, gosh, we could have won this, we should have won this, and different things. And I think the biggest piece of it in talking with like our players is having such a young team, we knew that consistency was going to be probably our biggest struggle. And so it was something that we tried to work on, you know, every day at practice and be able to be consistent in the little things in practice so that way it'd translate to games. And so I think, like, looking back, I think the team now kind of sees, like, oh, yeah, maybe that did play a pretty big role kind of in some of those wins and losses. And it's kind of a good thing. It's never fun to experience failure, right? But it's a good learning lesson for the team to kind of understand, like, what the expectation needs to be each and every day in order for us to be exactly where we want to be.
I think we had you on right after the St. Cloud State Series in late April, and you guys were wrapping up the season, finishing it up at home, and looking here, you guys finished the year pretty strong here at home, winning three of your last four games. What was the message to your team in those last couple games there, trying to just finish strong and protect the home diamond, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, we always try to, you know, stay true to who we are and the things that we believe in, but I think it was easier for them. I think during the season, you know, even when things weren't going our way, they were pressing so extremely hard to try to be able to get things to go our way. And so kind of approaching this weekend was like, hey, let's get back to playing for something bigger than ourselves, and let's send these seniors out on a note that they can be really proud of and on a legacy that, you know, they can leave behind and something we can really build on towards, you know, in the fall. So I think that that was the biggest thing, and it was kind of nice to see them just kind of like take a deep breath and know like, hey, we all got each other's back, and like, we're going to be okay. Whatever the outcome is, let's just play for each other today.
Well, easier said than done as it pertains to not pressing, as Coach Ness joins us here. And you see this at all levels, high school, college, pro. When things aren't going right, the next play could be that play that gets it going. And everyone's kind of looking for that big play, whether it's a diving catch or, you know, a home run. And we'll certainly get to that here in just a second with that Bemidji game. But how difficult is it to not press in situations like that? Because the more hard you try, sometimes the bigger you fail. Sometimes you have to do just kind of like the little things in terms of getting things going the right direction. Is that difficult to, you know, get into the heads of youngsters?
Yeah, I think so, because it's like, well, I want to try my hardest. And it's like, okay, if you're in a hitting slump, then it's like you almost try harder to get out of the hitting slump, and you kind of leave, you know, your fundamentals and stuff behind because you're swinging at pitches you wouldn't typically swing at, or you're swinging kind of out of your shoes a little bit and forcing things that aren't there. And so, unfortunately, it can kind of derail you a little bit more than it can, you know, improve where you're at. And so just trying to preach to them that sometimes less and more is more. And that doesn't mean that you try less or that you care less. It just means that you trust your abilities, that they're going to be able to come through and get the job done.
Now, your lineup was pretty good this year. I mean, I've got the numbers here. It looks like you have seven gals or more, 20 or more hits. I mean, your lineup pretty strong throughout the season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think that the girls did a really good job. I think the tough thing was we had a point in the season where we just struggled to push runs across. We could get base runners on, but we'd leave the game having left, you know, 7 to 9 runners on base, and that's kind of what ultimately hurt us in some of those situations, was that we just weren't pushing the runs across that we needed, especially, you know, if our defense was falling a little bit short, or, you know, we had some injuries with the pitching staff. So it kind of changed a little bit of that dynamic as well. And so just kind of being able to really try to rely on the offense to pick up where maybe we were struggling.
Head Coach Kaylee Ness joining us in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Speaking of pitching, what's that kind of look like going forward? Obviously, you lose some players with graduation and that sort of thing, unless there's another year of eligibility or anything like there. But what's that kind of look like in the offseason for you guys going forward?
Yep. So we did lose one to graduation, and she's going on. She's going to do really wonderful things. And Abby was a absolute joy to have this year. Wish we could have another year of her. I joke around with her a lot, but, you know, unfortunately, that's not the cards that were dealt. But we do have three pitchers technically returning, and we have two incoming so far, and then we're working on finding one more and kind of solidifying that.
Yeah, she pitched well. Abby Rux did. Can you just talk about her season here? 112 strikeouts, only 54 walks. I mean, she pitched 173 and a third innings here. I mean, she was kind of your workhorse all season long.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a running joke. You know, she'd finish pitching game one, and we'd be ready to go to game two, and I'd kind of look at her. I'm like, she's like, don't worry, I got you. And I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yep, I'm good. And it was, you know, and she always, I didn't always know if I believed her in terms of if her body was going to hold up, but I just had to trust her that she was being honest of what she could handle. And it was pretty cool, you know, that last game, I kind of looked at her that one last time, and she's like, with pleasure, like, let's go. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. She was very reliable for us. And I know you mentioned the walks, and I would say even as we got, you know, progressed through the season, those walk numbers even went way more down. Wow. She was able to really focus on first pitch strikes and kind of, you know, pitching with her strikes or her strengths instead of trying to kind of work back through a count that she didn't really care for. So I would say as the season progressed, she even became a stronger, you know, force for us out on the mound.
Well, softball is so unique in that regard, as, you know, you talk about adding more depth to your pitching staff, but sometimes if you just have that one or two aces, I mean, look what Augustana has been doing over the last handful of years. I mean, even before you got here, I'm sure they were kind of on your radar, and
yep,
what Glanzer's been doing on down there. But it's just like you've got one or two players. it's tough to break into a rotation, isn't it?
Yeah, it really just kind of depends on the depth that you have, the experience that you have, the mentality of the pitchers, and each pitching staff is so different. It's kind of, you know, you look at it and it's like, well, if you have five pitchers, sometimes you only need then two, but if you only have three, then you needed four. And, you know, injuries kind of always pop up and stuff like that. So it's just kind of crazy. Seems like if you have the depth, you don't need it, and if you don't have the depth, that's when you kind of need it.
It's like an umbrella on a golf course.
Yeah.
So if you don't have your umbrella, it's going to rain on you, but the second you bring it, it's never going to.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we got to talk about the walk-off here, Avery Eagle, three-run homer. And after the game, or not after, the show after the game that Monday, we looked at it, and they had a little visit on the mound, and then first pitch, see you later. I mean, just a really cool way to end the season. And Eagle, one of your seniors, she had a phenomenal year. Can you just walk us through that from your perspective, that seventh inning?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy. Avery, her previous at-bat, had came off a strikeout looking, which is very, like, untypical for her. It's not something that she typically does. And so I knew that she was pretty upset about it. And, you know, later in the day, I kind of learned that she was having conversations. I can't go out like that. I can't go out like that. And so the hitters leading up to her were like, we're getting on. Like, we're going to do this thing. Avery's going to get another at-bat. And so she went up there, and, you know, it's kind of a weird feeling as a coach too. I wish you get it more often, but sometimes you just get this feeling. It's like, you know what, Avery's going to send this over the fence. And she absolutely did that on the first pitch, and it was pretty cool.
Did you know it was going to come on the first pitch?
I didn't necessarily know it was going to come on the first pitch. But typically we are a team that does better being more aggressive in the count. And that's something that we've kind of worked on throughout the year. So no, I didn't necessarily know which pitch it was coming, but I just had a feeling that if she put a good swing on a good pitch, like I knew she could, that she could really do something special.
And they were so confident, too, like, we're going to pitch her this, okay, yep. Stay away from this, and then just first pitch, gone.
Yep.
Those are sweet. I mean, it's so ironic, too, because before that game or before that series, before that home weekend, we're saying, do the little things, avoid, you know, that big swing for the fences mentality. And shut up, Tukes. You have no idea what you're talking about, because that's the way to win the game.
Well, no, I think the thing is like when you're pressing for that or that's all you're relying on, that's kind of what can get you. But I think that when you just are completely bought in and you're trusting each other's abilities, then those moments happen organically, and that's what makes them so beautiful.
And in that game, I mean, you guys are down 7-0 in the fourth inning. I mean,
yeah.
Talk about just a don't quit kind of attitude. Was it weird at all? You know, sometimes you see, like, you know, your season's going to be over. It's an emotional time for these seniors. You guys ended it on such a high,
right,
with the walk-off. I mean, it's, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. You know, sometimes I forget that we were down 7-0, and there was one point, I can't remember if it was when we were still down 7-0 or when we were down 7-2, but went out after they just came off defense, and I kind of looked at them because I'm like, wear your heads high. Like, we're not losing this game. Let's come together. Let's fight. This is our field. We're not going down like this. Let's, you know, string some things together and let's get the job done, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, 8-7, your final score there in that final game, and just a really, really cool moment for sure for that squad. And Matt, you got something?
Yeah, can you talk about, I mean, Bryant's performance in that game? I mean, I'm looking here at the box score. Homer, single. She had a couple RBIs, or four RBIs in the game. I mean, she kind of got the engine rolling in that game, huh?
Yep, absolutely. Tevin's been a really good bat for us. And even, you know, if her stats don't necessarily show it, she hits the ball extremely hard and she gives us opportunities to get on base. And sometimes she just hits it right to people. And so I think that she's got a really good demeanor up at the plate and that she's going to be a really good leader for us going forward. And so, yeah, she was huge in being able to kind of start that rally and then kind of continue that on. And I don't know if you guys had listened to the Behind the Pack podcast at all, but she was on there and she actually kind of talked about that she was like, no, I'm getting on base for Avery. Like, I have to do this for her. And so it's kind of a special thing just to see how that mentality kind of worked for them of truly just playing for each other and for their last games.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing, as I always say. Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. Exit meetings, that's probably in the rearview mirror. You've probably done most of those, if not all of them. What do those kind of look like, and what's the next couple weeks and couple months looking like for you?
Yep, so we finished those up yesterday, and they all went really, really well. Obviously, we talked about the things that they need to work on. It's always hard to say this is where everyone's going to stack up, right, because you don't know how people are going to return. You don't know how your incoming's going to come in, but the best thing about having depth is that they're going to be able to compete, and the best person for that position is going to be able to rise. And so I think they can all see where we fell short, and they know the adjustments that they need to be able to make to maybe see better performance or see better outcomes or see more time or change the role or whatever that is. And so they'll have a really good understanding of what work they have to put in over the summer to be able to come back and be in a good position for fall so that we can, you know, achieve the goals that we want to be able to achieve. We will probably have a pretty young team next year. And so knowing that we need people to be able to really be leaders and, you know, kind of share what the expectations are and the accountability piece and really be able to start that on day one to working towards the goal of making conference tournament and really doing something in the postseason play. And so, like I said, they know what's expected of them, but they also know what they did really, really well, because as anyone who kind of paid attention to our season, there were a lot of really bright spots and a lot of things that we can be really proud of. And so they know not to be satisfied. They know we got work to do, but they know that there's some things that they did really well this year too.
I love baseball. I love softball from a standpoint of just the grind of the season. I worked in baseball before I got here, and, you know, it's a grind of a season. Doubleheaders, you're playing, you know, multiple times a week, but you snap your fingers and the season's over. I mean, it's kind of crazy how it all works like that. What's your thoughts on just like the grind of the sport in the summer?
Yeah, sometimes.
Or spring, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it's like, yeah, it is a grind. It feels like a grind. And then all of a sudden you're approaching your last weekend or two and it's like, where did it go? Like, what happened? How did we get all these games in, you know? And so it is kind of crazy. So I think just trying to be in the moment, live in the present, just focus on one game at a time and not necessarily looking, you know, in the rearview mirror or looking too much in the future. Just doing what we can and controlling what we control in that time.
Yeah, be where your feet are, as coaches say.
Yep.
To use the coaching cliche, certainly works out well. But
get that buzzer going.
Yeah, I know. I gotta go ahead, give myself the old buzzer here, the old coach speak detector. Where is it? Yeah, there it is, the old coach speak detector. So gotta drop that in from time to time. Well, congratulations on your first year now in the books. Looking forward to year two and going on going forward. So appreciate you doing this, and we'll talk to you later on down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Head coach Kaylee Ness here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up this Wolves Midweek of the Hub after this. Sports Hub continues right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our thanks to Dean Barry and head coach Kaylee Ness joining us here live in studio on FSA. A jam-packed and loaded track and field schedule from yesterday. But first and foremost, you're going to have to admonish me on this one. I was way off base. I thought it'd be very, very competitive between Roncalli and Aberdeen Central. And to be quite frank, it was competitive, but the final score wouldn't exactly indicate as much. 9-0 your final score there yesterday as Aberdeen Central defeats Aberdeen Roncalli on the tennis side of things. What did I say? 5-4 or 6-3? That was my prediction? Yeah, 9-0 in favor of the Golden Eagles over the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it was a pretty dominant effort, to say the least. I don't know if we had radio jinx.
Reverse jinx.
Yeah, the reverse jinx there. We know we had Gannon May on talking Roncalli tennis, and I don't know if we jinxed it or not. But
yeah, maybe. Although, to be fair, A.J. Prane versus Gannon May was incredibly.
Yes, it was.
Incredibly entertaining. It was very, very competitive indeed, and Prane just clipped him there. 7-6, the tiebreaker went to 8-6, and then 6-2. So that was very, very competitive, and Aberdeen Central now winners of their last six. They also defeated Peer 8-1 there as well, so really good stuff there for head coach Kurtz's crew. On the golf side of things, you had the Dell Rapids invite. Aberdeen Roncalli would finish in fifth place collectively. Sioux Falls Christian would finish in first place. Claire Crawford would finish in sixth place. And you say sixth, that's not great. Well, there was a four-way tie for second, so she's right there. Only a 7 over par and a 79 for her, so not too shabby at all. And Aberdeen Central, they pick up their first victory of the season on the softball side of things over Mopo yesterday. 7 strikeouts from Kaylee Kiso and are out to their first victory of the year. Coming up next, we've got Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 a.m.